Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Good morning, everybody.
There it is.
Happy Tuesday. It's a beautiful day outside today. It is Election Day as well. If you have not done that, do your civic duty if you can.
Your duty.
I did it this morning. Didn't get a sticker. I'm going to be upset the rest of the day.
Fraud.
I know. How am I supposed to tell people I voted? I don't have a sticker. And the worst part is, Derek, finished up, walking out. I'm like, all right, cool. I got to go to work. I'm like 5 minutes away from the polling place. I'm like, I don't have a sticker. It never occurred to me.
Could you imagine just busting a UE just so you get the, like, you walk back in there and go, I never got my sticker.
Brutal. Brutal.
Yeah, that would be an interesting way to live here. But yeah, no, go do what you got to do there. And while you're doing it, you could be listening to us here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. He's Zach Jones. I'm Derek Kramer. It's trade deadline day. And
will they do anything?
I bet you they do, because there's no coincidence that all of a sudden Taron Johnson had a restructuring of his contract to free up some cap space. Yeah, that's not an accident. That's not just something that they decided to do for no reason. There's a purpose behind that, and I'm going to be the one to say it right now to everyone. Hold on to your butts until about the 3 o'clock hour.
Yeah, Chris Trapasso had a good tweet yesterday. Because Amari Cooper does not land on this. So if anyone asking for the Amari Cooper,
that is true.
He doesn't land on this. Just trade deadline day, time when the trades were announced or reported, it's around 3 to 3:30.
Yes.
Is usually when they've done it. We'll see if that changes this year. I'm fully prepared for a trade to break. We were on this show. It was me and Josh Schmidt when Stephon Diggs' trade broke. And we had to never forget the day having to pivot from talking about Stephon Diggs. And if the Bills still trusted him as a number one receiver, too, going, cool, so the Bills got rid of him. Here's where we're at.
That is an interesting pivot. But yes, the tweet that we're mentioning from Chris Trapasso mentions three times that Bean did this. Amari Cooper, as you mentioned, is not on this. But that means that three of the four deadline deals are announced in the 3 o'clock hour or later. Calvin Benjamin was announced at 4:12 p.m., as a matter of fact.
Oh, yeah, so like one of those, like, hey, we're still getting rumblings here, you know, the league office has got to, you know, officially say yes, all that jazz.
Naeem Hines was announced at, or reported at 3:57, and Rasul Douglas was announced at 3:32.
So we may have a long day for us. The deadline is at 4. I will say, just right off the bat, we're not going to spend too much time on the Kansas City game. It is a much more positive, though, time for the trade deadline than it potentially could have been. I mean, if they were 5-3... I think there would have been a lot more hostility. I mean, maybe even for us, of just like, you need to do anything.
Anxiety, I think, is the right
anxiety is probably the right way to put it. Where now it's, okay, they're 6-2. Now you're still in a battle for the one seed. Indy loses to Pittsburgh, kind of
right.
Stunningly. I mean, to be perfectly honest, they look terrible against the Steelers. You know, New England, you're still chasing. Now you've put Kansas City in a bind, and I haven't really heard their name too much in some of the trade rumblings, so we'll see if they do anything. But the cap space being freed up, I think they're sitting around $3 to $3.5 million now in cap space following the Taron Johnson restructuring. That does mean if they so choose, and if they really want to do it, they can make a few moves here. There are a number of guys with the cap hits that we've all been talking about are under $1 million or around $1 million in a cap hit. So the Bills wouldn't have to do too much. They could just bring them on the roster. We'll figure this out in February, March, when the new season starts and we've got to start thinking towards 26, 27. Some of those names do include Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed, Carl Granderson. Those are just the Saints guys.
Those are just the Saints guys.
And so they – look, maybe that's glass half full. That's what got me curious last night by the restructuring of Taron Johnson's contract is, because of the Hoyt injury, are they now going, okay, we're going to have to add two guys?
I look at – ready? Because of the Hoyt injury, I look at a player that played last night in Arizona, Calais Campbell.
Mm-hmm.
38 years old. It's a cap hit that you can easily manage, especially after the restructures now, that he's 38, but he still does play at a good level, would be a nice rotational piece, can play both D end and D tackle for you. Sound familiar?
Right. So he kind of could fill in the Hoyt role. It's very much the one-year rental.
Very lengthy wingspan, by the way. Calais Campbell has notably throughout his career consistently blocked field goals.
That's nice.
Because he does have that extra reach. Because I think Campbell's like 6'8 or something like that.
Yeah. He's a bit of a physical freak.
So,
but he's a full one-year rental. Would be pretty cheap, so you wouldn't have to mortgage the future. I wonder, though, how much appetite the Bills would have for this. We haven't been able to talk too much on the trade deadline. Mainly just it's been far away. The NFL trade deadline is not like the NBA or the NHL or the MLB, where teams make multiple moves and they get frisky with it. It's not that. Usually, the Bills kind of participate. It's like one, maybe two deals in the period. Philadelphia is a bit more aggressive than you usually see. They've made three deals, although many of them have been very minor moves, not, you know, discounting Jalen Phillips, you know, third-round pick for an expiring contract for an edge rusher. They are obviously making some pretty big moves. The Rams, though, but I don't even know if those deals were necessarily on deadline day. For me, this is just more, do the Bills fill any of the holes they do have? I will say this, as someone that has given a lot of flack to Bean and the recent drafting, what have you, the young players have flashed for the Bills this year. Deion Walker, Max Harrison, in just two games, already looks like a huge difference maker for the Bills. He gets his first interception on what kind of looks like an arm punt, but it's he's still great the entire game and really lockdown worthy. Cole Bishop has really ascended in year two. Jordan Hancock seems to be the future at the second safety, maybe past this year, we'll see. But at least once he gets comfortable,
he's a rotational piece.
I think Poyer will start to move down the ladder. Okay, you're going to be the depth guy, and that's fine. But he has looked pretty good as well this year. It should be noted. I mentioned Deion Walker endlessly with how good he's been. And then, while they are going to miss him, the free agent hits with Michael Hoyt was exceptional for seven quarters.
Michael Hoyt was, as Bills fans, we were ripped off. Not by Michael Hoyt, but by the season that he could have had.
Mm-hmm.
By circumstance, we were ripped off. Michael Hoyt was ripped off of a season. Because, you know, he mentions how the whole process happened with the suspension for the enhanced substances and how he effectively felt betrayed in that sort of way. But, again, you got seven quarters of lights out football from Michael Hoyt, and now you're only sitting here thinking what could have been. And it sounds similar to what has happened with Ed Oliver's season. It is a what could have been year because in back-to-back weeks, you lose a defensive lineman that averaged a sack a game. And on a Bills team that is getting more consistency in its pass rush all of a sudden, having those two guys would have only made that stronger and better, and even more terrifying. Welcome now, though, to the other infuriating thing about granted, we're not going to talk much about Kansas City, but there is an infuriating aspect about that win. I saw the defensive line play amongst its best football there. And the last time I saw Kansas City, the defensive line had probably its worst football played. Are some pieces different? Yes. But in particular, Rousseau was fantastic in that game. In the AFC Championship game, it was probably his worst game of his career.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just keep getting it done in January. Like, keep getting it done and get it done through January is really what I want to say on that.
Mm-hmm. It is. I mean, the defensive line has been playing great this year. Literally, outside of Denver, who has 40 sacks, the Bills are right around the area of being tied for second. Second place alone is Detroit at 28. The Bills are eighth with 25 sacks.
Broncos have 40 sacks.
That's like, but they're the complete outlier. A bunch of teams are clumped together within like 3 sacks of each other.
No wonder nobody scores in those games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a lot. Nick Benito, pretty sweet. Zach Allen, pretty sweet. You did see stuff from the Bills' defense the last 2 weeks. I think really since the bye, or you can even go back further.
The second half of Atlanta.
That, okay, a light slipped on, whatever it may be. I think there's real smoke to the fire that McDermott is calling plays now, or at least it is absolutely a joint effort between him and Babich. I think that would absolutely point to a difference in how they're playing. And look, Carolina goes out and beats Green Bay. A week before that, they're getting absolutely dominated in every facet by the Bills at home. And then the Bills have maybe their best performance on defense against Mahomes, a career low for him in completion percentage, 15 hits, 3 sacks. They're all over him. I think my thing there with the defense and the addition, I think they may just have to do it purely off of bodies that have dropped. You know, yes, you are getting Daquan Jones back. We'll see about TJ Sanders and Shaq Thompson, what have you. But they've had a lot of key guys go down. Ed Oliver, the report Sunday morning was that they hope to get him back by wild card weekend or divisional round weekend. We'll see if that ends up being true, but it is still a torn bicep. So you don't want to lean on like, oh yeah, guys, but once he's back, he's going to be 100%. That is probably not the case. It could be, probably not. So I do look at a guy like a Carl Granderson, who, while hasn't had a sack in 5 games, was really good for the Saints to start the year. He has 4.5, and he kind of did that all within 3 weeks. And if you put him on a defensive line that has Joey Bosa feasting, AJ Epenesa and Greg Rousseau also doing a hell of a job back there, and now better coverage by the Bills. And that has been something, why they've been able to get after the quarterback much better. The pressure rates were already high. That's why you keep hearing people were talking about Joey Bosa in such a positive. He was getting there. He just needed that half second more, little bit tighter coverage for a quarterback to not make a throw. He's probably getting home, or he's at least forcing a quarterback to escape the pocket, whatever. I think if you can go at a guy like a Carl Granderson, that could be a big boon for them. But I do still sit, Derek, with offense. And while, yes, Allen had a great game, I think his best game so far this year, 3 incompletions. He had the same amount of sacks as he did incompletions. It's pretty much all tight ends, which is not, I don't want to say it's a bad thing and that's unsustainable. I think Kincaid, when he is on the field and healthy, is their best receiving weapon. And he can be. I think that's okay. But why I've always looked at Rashid Shaheed, or if you want to get after it and go Chris Olave, it spreads everybody else out. And right now, you're not getting anything from Keon Coleman. He is on the field more than any other receiver, but it seems to be just as a blocker. I mean, it feels like there's just nothing coming from Coleman since that fourth quarter against Baltimore, all the way back in week 1. I mean, we are well past that now. And so if they can get a Rashid Shaheed or a Chris Olave, that opens up the offense so more. I think that just takes a lot of pressure off the defense as well.
I do think that there is something to the method of the Bills' madness where if they don't add a receiver, I'm not really going to be surprised at this point. And it's because of the fact that their offense, they probably do believe this is sustainable. The way that they're running the football consistently. I mean, the New England game looks like it is the true anomaly of that. Because Atlanta, yeah, Cook has less than 100 yards, but there at least is something there. I'm pretty sure he had less than 50 against the Patriots.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
But you mentioned the tight ends getting a lot of that production. Kincaid's on the field only 35% of the game.
Yeah, they haven't changed that to all of a sudden he's... Was he third?
Third.
For the tight ends in how much he was on the field.
So that makes me think, though, oh, we'll use him more in the postseason. Because he's already productive now, seeing only 23 of the snaps out of a total of 66. Okay. Sign me up. I do suspect they will use him more if it needs to happen. They will keep using Knox and Hawes as well as they need to because they are the better blockers of the two, are they not?
Kincaid's been much better, but
yes. Kincaid's been much better, but you know those two are the primary blockers, which means they are still going to be looking at James Cook and thinking, this is the guy. Joe DiBiase mentioned something, a tweet earlier in the morning of, do they look at maybe even, and this will send everyone into a rage,
running back,
adding a running back to help stabilize if James Cook misses any time at all.
Well, because I mean, that's been a big talking point already this year is that outside of Cook, they're not getting anything from the run game. You know, he is not just a replaceable piece. I've mentioned this as well. Kind of eating a little bit of crow is he's not just a replaceable piece to them. He is probably the third or second best running back in the league this year. And then they're not getting really anything from Ty Johnson. And I think for me, at least, especially Ray Davis, who you would have thought when they drafted him, maybe is going to be the replacement for Cook if they don't sign him to a long-term deal. Of course, the summer sort of changed that idea. But then it really got solidified as the season has gone on, where Davis has just really become a non-factor.
Not to mention, though, more on Cook with this. James Cook is 28 yards away from the rushing lead, and he's played one less game than Jonathan Taylor. Yeah.
I didn't realize they were that close.
867 for Cook versus Taylor's 895.
Did not know they were that close.
And the Bills have had their bye week already. Adding a running back is a factor that I have to put a non-0% chance on.
Right.
And I know that will make people sick to their stomachs to even think that that's a possibility. Again, not my idea. I'm just mentioning
but,
it.
But I think it is right to mention, though, but this is their identity. This is how they're winning football games. And if Cook goes down, they may have a much bigger problem than, well, Josh Palmer goes down. It hurts them a little bit in Carolina. They don't really need it, though. The running game's fine. In Kansas City, it really didn't hurt them. or against Kansas City.
I was going to say, against Atlanta is probably where it hurt him the most in that game. Otherwise, no. I think Josh Palmer's been okay as an addition. He's no Michael Hoyt in the seven quarters of impact that that man had. But it turns back to, what is Joe Brady doing with this team? He's running the football. And it has become, in this day and age, if you need to move the football, it's because defenses are telling you that you need to run the football. Base is nickel now. The Bills run a 13 package more than any team but the Rams at this point. By the way, Sean McVay is a psychopath.
Big fan.
But, again, one of those tight ends blocks like a lineman.
Mm-hmm.
The Bills have revolutionized the idea of putting a six offensive lineman back out there again. Because teams are doing it around the league again. Joe Brady wants to run the football. I don't like saying it and giving it this much attention. But do not go punching air if the Bills grab a running back, okay?
I won't love it. I really will not love it.
The player that Joe mentioned in his tweet was Tony Pollard. I'd be more ecstatic about them adding Tony Pollard than Jacoby Myers. And I think it just has to do with the quality of the players.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Yeah. I think that's right. I think that's right.
So be careful what you wish for is really what I want to say in this at the end of the day.
803-0550, the number to call. I want to give your thoughts on what you want to see the Bills do today. The trade deadline is at 4 p.m. Thanks to Chris Trapasso, who is absolutely a friend of the show and friend of the station. Usually for trade deadline days, it's around 3 to 3:30 or even past the deadline where news is still coming in. So maybe it won't happen during our show. There's always a chance, though. We already have one deal confirmed today. It is with the Cowboys, who, funny enough, their owner Jerry Jones said yesterday, I believe on Sirius Radio, that he had made a trade or that they were going to make a trade on deadline day. They were just, like, you know, finishing out the details. It's true. They have traded for linebacker Logan Wilson from Cincinnati, and it's for a seventh-round pick. Nothing too crazy, but I do know that was also a name that was floated around that the Bills were kind of keeping tabs on. Adding a linebacker, they've picked up major injuries at that position. Could absolutely see something like that as well.
Adding a Bengals defensive player to the Cowboys defense. That sounds like a winning recipe.
It's not great. It's not the best idea, especially because he was losing snaps on an already horrific defense. I also, though, I want to go to Twitter here because we've got a few responses as well. And one I think that's interesting, and I think Glenn is right to bring this up. Bean is consistent with regards to acquiring players who fit into the team's culture. I believe that is going to be defensive tackle Harrison Phillips, who is right now on the New York Jets. I'd be a little surprised if they made a trade with the Jets. If Phillips was still on the Vikings, I would be 100% on that. The Jets, I have a little bit. It's why I don't even really entertain the Jalen Waddle idea. Waddle's kind of in the same situation that Olave's in, where the cap hit is basically nothing.
Right.
And to be fair, after Waddle's rookie year, you've more than seen that he's a complement receiver. He is not a number one. He has great games. He has great moments. He's not a one. So you can maybe get him for potentially the same price you could get Olave for. But he's a Dolphin. And I don't imagine the Dolphins, a week before they'll play them and they just got rid of their GM, will then send them to the Bills.
They're not doing a division rival a favor.
And to be fair, I almost don't even see the Dolphins doing anything else anymore. They don't have their GM set in. I don't think they'll want to make moves that maybe set the team up in the future. I think that's why they got rid of Chris Greer now rather than a little bit later, is we don't want him touching the rest of the future of the team. We're ready to move on.
Right.
We don't want anything happening on the deadline day. And while it's still his job, it would still be his job. And he would still probably act like it, and that's totally fair. So, look, maybe Waddle could absolutely be moved. I just don't see it with them having an interim GM, and I certainly don't see it with the Bills being a division rival, and you're playing them on Sunday.
Yeah.
I mean, could you, just for a minute, could you imagine Waddle straight to the Bills today? I mean, does he even leave Miami? Just send him the playbook. Like, dude, we'll meet you there. One of our coaches will come down there, and we'll meet you there.
I don't know how I would react to that, mostly based on Miami's incompetence on that sort of thing. Trading Waddle at all. Really? because the Dolphins want to probably get themselves a little bit different identity. I don't know if they're moving on from Tua or not. That contract's really hard to deal with.
The contract is tough.
That contract is very tough. But at the same time, that man has been dreadful. And yet, there's rumors they might keep McDaniel. The one thing I do know about Miami's offense is that Jaylen Waddle is good at football.
Mm-hmm.
Him and Devon Achane, that's the answers I've got about Miami's offense. Those two are good. That's it. End of list. We know they don't have a quality offensive line.
No.
Their depth is, well, depth at wide receiver. So if they trade the best piece that they have on their offense with no general manager truly in place yet, oh boy, what are we doing?
Yeah, I'd be a little surprised. The Jalen Phillips trade made more sense because just he was on an expiring contract. They probably weren't going to bring him back
yet. Right, they gave Waddle an extension.
Yeah, Waddle is going to be on the books after this year. Like, that's the thing. The cap hit's not that bad now. It gets much worse next year, I believe next year.
So it is kind of imperative for Miami to hold on to their best offensive player, really is what this is. Phillips was an interesting one for me. Nate brought it up on the overtime show. I was worried about the cap hit because it was before, obviously, they made the restructure with Taron Johnson happen. But then Philly trades for him the next morning.
Mm-hmm.
I also still think, talking about Miami players is a little bit redundant because of the fact that I don't think they're going to do a division rival a favor, especially said division rival that was the bane to their Batman over the last few years. Why would you give that team help?
Yeah. It's also why
that would be like the Bills back in the drought days, mm-hmm, of, hey, let's trade the Patriots our best offensive player
because we're going to restart, but we're going to help them out too.
We're going to help them out.
Yeah, no, and that's why
I'm not calling the Bills the Patriots. Obviously, I'm just saying division rival that has been humiliating said team. Mm-hmm. Do not help them.
But it's why I do look at teams like the Saints more. Saints only have 5 draft picks. They've got a number of players that could help the Bills out now, and it's AFC-NFC. The Saints literally won't have to worry about the Bills and could get a few more draft. They only have 5 going into this year.
That is a key factor that I really do think that Calais Campbell should be the target because of the fact that he plays D-tackle and D-end, and he has 5 sacks on the year. He had 2 last night against Dallas. Mm-hmm. He is consistently getting quarterback hits throughout the year, by the way. It makes too much sense to have the versatility that you just lost with Hoyt.
Yeah. We'll see about Arizona with Campbell. We'll see about New Orleans with Granderson, Olave, Shahid, and many others.
The Saints have a lot of targets that they would be looking at.
Many others on the – I think Harrison Phillips should be very active.
Harrison
today.
Phillips is interesting. Like I said, division rivals don't typically like to help each other, but Harrison Phillips is not Jaylen Waddle.
No.
Or is he Jaylen Phillips even in that sense? I would be interested to see if that's a trade that the Jets would be willing to make.
803-0550. Again, the number to call. I want to give your thoughts on what do you want to see the Bills do before the 4 p.m. trade deadline. We'll also get some of your tweets. And we've got primetime players coming up at 11 o'clock as well. Sabres in action tonight at home, Utah. 6 p.m. pregame, 7 p.m. puck drop. Nice busy sports day here on Election Day as well. You're listening to WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.